Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12, as we are confronted by God's Word. You know, my title today is Contending for Contentment. Contending for Contentment. And around the holiday season, we hear a lot of themes of thankfulness and contentment or satisfaction. And, you know, the question of the hour is, if you are a Christian, are you exercising contentment? Amen. Are you striving for contentment? Are you content? The Apostle Paul is going to teach us this today. Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12. Let's read. Now, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Well, content, it means to be self-sufficient or to be satisfied. It indicates any independence from any need of help. It's a very rare thing today when we see people saying they are satisfied with everything they have, isn't it? In this devouring, culture-seeking, me-first world we live in, people are rare to say they have enough. It's because contentment is a righteous attitude. Contentment is a spiritual virtue. Contentment is saying, I'm trusting in God and His providences and His promises regarding my life. Amen. Contentment is God's intention for us, beloved. God's intention is to bring you ultimately to complete satisfaction in Him. Amen. I could say a lot of bold things today. I could stand up here and say, oh, the future for you is this, and God wants this for you, and I could look like a fool, but one of the bold things I can stand behind this pulpit and say is that God's intention for you is to be satisfied in Him.
Amen.
The divine Holy of the Holies wants that for you. And to see, we see the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's the goal, to make you content in Him. Mm-hmm. The opposite, though, to flip that around, would be discontentment. We live in a world, the one fallen world that we have as it manifests is producing discontentment.
Yeah.
The world's diseased with discontentment. If you think about advertisement, advertising at the root of it all is to make you discontent with what you got. It's to say, hey, that food in your pantry is not enough. Go eat a steak down the road. It's that car that got you here. Yeah, you got a car, but you get a nice, shinier car. It's better on gas. That's got more gadgets and gizmos inside. You could have better. Be discontent with what you got. The heart of advertisement is a lot of seduction, that you might go after something that you don't have. Clothing, I could go on and on. But see, the Apostle Paul, he was a very educated man. And he gained this knowledge of contentment. And one of the greatest achievements was in his studies that he could say, I have learned to become content. This kind of knowledge is far greater than any knowledge that we can learn in schools. It's one of the most rarest and desirable knowledges to obtain. And the Apostle Paul discovered this when he could say, I have learned to become content. Look here in verse 11, it says, I have learned to become content. Which means he wasn't always content. No, he had to learn to become content.
Amen.
He had to learn through his trials and his pains and through perseverance to cultivate the knowledge of the exposition of contentment. And finally, when he had mastered and was able to say, I have learned to become content, well, he was already at the edge of the grave as a gray-haired man, deep in Nero's prison, dark, gloomy prison in Rome. I believe Apostle Paul wants you to learn contentment as soon as possible, though, because it's going to help you in this life. Contentment in all circumstances in life is not natural for man. It's not the way of man. Listen to what Spurgeon has to say about contentment. How many unwanted weeds grow quickly in our lives? Greed, discontentment, complaining, and coveting when we are not content. We complain easy enough, don't we? We don't need to be taught how to complain. These things come naturally enough as it is. But the precious and valuable things have to be cultivated. If we want wheat, we must plow and sow. If we want a garden, we must have a garden with all the gardener's cares. I love how he makes that transition. And contentment is one of the flowers of heaven. And if you want to have it, it must be cultivated. It will not grow naturally on its own, beloved. No, we must cultivate, contend, and pursue if we want to be content.
Amen.
And so the Apostle Paul has 2 points for us, I see, in this passage. The first point is he wants us to cultivate joy in the low times. Cultivate joy in the low times. Real quick, can you imagine someone saying, I'm joyful and I'm blessed, but I complain about everything that I have. I don't like what I got, what God's given me. I'm not satisfied with my state in life. That just doesn't make sense. Because joy and contentment go hand in hand. They lock arms together. They're in harmony with one another. And you're going to have to cultivate joy if you want to contend for contentment. So he wants us to cultivate joy. He says, being brought low. He knew what it was like to be in need and to be humbled. Beloved, it's far easier when we are honored and men are applauding us and we're growing in status and in favor with men and we're getting things we want. It's easier to become content, isn't it? But what happens when men attack us and hiss at us behind our backs? When our goals and dreams are pushed aside? When family members don't come to see you at the Christmas table? And they despise you when trials and tribulations come your way. What happens when those things come to visit you? Are you still content with what the Lord has done for you in your life?
Amen.
In the low times, we must remember what John the Baptist said. He says, Christ must increase and I must decrease.
Yeah.
We must remember the Apostle Paul. He says, you have to have joy in who? In the Lord. Joy in the Lord. Ask yourself, can your name go downwards so Christ's name may ascend upwards?
Amen.
What about when things are going well? Well, the Apostle Paul here wants to see the second point, and that's to have not confidence in yourself, but confidence in the Lord. It's easy to fall when things are going well, unlike the low times. Look here, it says, look at Alexander the Great. He's a good example. What more countries do I have to conquer? And he whined and cried because there wasn't anything left to conquer. Possessions increase, so can your desires for those possessions to increase if we're not careful.
Yeah.
Just as important, Paul says, I found contentment when I abounded. I know what it's like to have plenty, Paul says. How often do men become proud when they achieve their goals and they forget God? How easy is that for that to happen to us if we are not careful? Look at politics. A man starts low on the totem pole and he rises to the top and he becomes a tyrant and he reigns over people. We see that often. All because they didn't know how to act when they had plenty. But Paul, he did the opposite. He gave to the poor when he had plenty. He maximized his usefulness and he made the most use of his time. It's such a divine lesson for us to learn to become content whether we are well-fed or we are hungry. Just remember, as far as being in the well-fed department, the Israelites had food in their mouths and their bellies full when God's wrath came upon them. Quickly, God's wrath came when they were fed full. They were full, they were satisfied with the earth, and they forgot God in heaven. See, the flesh of man tends to lean towards his own, lean towards pride and forgetfulness of God. So you need to pray, beloved, that God will teach you how to have enough. He will teach you how to act when you have plenty. Both sides are very crucial, learning in fullness and learning in hunger. Apostle Paul wants us to know both of those situations. It's not how much we have, but it's how much we enjoy that makes for true happiness. Paul's faith was grounded in God's sovereignty and election. He knew his citizenship was in heaven, that he could get up on God's level. Paul knew that. He believed the angel, and the angel said, do not be afraid. Contentment was in the mind. It's a battle of the mind. And just like the book of Colossians, it says we are to go up to God's level and set our affections on the things that are above. That's where God's garden is. That's where you'll find the flower of joy. That's where you'll find the flower of contentment. Why would you complain today? What are our excuses today? Jesus Christ has delivered you from the gates of hell. And Christ suffered far more than you and I ever will suffer or have suffered. Remember, every stroke regarding suffering in the low times, every stroke of the Father's rod is bringing about your completion and your sanctification in Him to make you more like Christ. Saints have no hell except the hell on earth they will suffer.
That's right.
As I close, let gratitude champion the flesh. Let gratitude defeat the grumbling. Strive to adorn where God has placed you. Strive to be like Paul and say, I have learned to become content in all circumstances. Strive to cultivate a heavenly garden. Strive for contentment and to bless His holy name.
Amen.
Psalm 36, verse 7 and 8 says, "How precious is Thy loving kindness, O God! And the children of men take refuge under the shadow of Thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied or content." It is a blessed secret when the believer learns how to carry a high head on an empty stomach, an upright look on an empty pocket, a happy heart with an unpaid salary, joy in God when men are faithless.
Amen.
And as you are commanded in Scripture, I also exhort you today, train yourself, train your mind to cultivate and contend for contentment today. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I just want to thank You for Your Word, Lord. And I thank You that there's so much to learn from it, Father. And Lord, just prick our hearts, Lord. Let us be a living sacrifice today, Father. Let us be content with what You have for us, where You've placed us in lot, this lot in life, Lord. Let us be good stewards of the lot in life that we have. Lord, let us be thankful. Lord, let us press on and press the gospel forward in Your kingdom, Lord. We love You, Father, and we thank You for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.